Arginus Vonderplanitz was an American nutritionist and creator of the raw primal diet. He was perhaps one of the first people of notoriety to advocate for the consumption of raw meat, a topic I'm in the process of making a video on. One of the more controversial things he stipulated was the notion that all parasites, bacteria, and viruses are in fact beneficial to people's health. However, for the sake of this video being simple and easy to understand, I'm only going to be focusing on the latter. In relation to the topic of viruses, Vonderplanitz claimed that the only way to get a so-called virus was to be injected with it. It's understood that all viruses are non-living, dead protein structures. Arginus' theory was that they are all naturally occurring in the body and perform a special role of being able to dissolve toxic or dead tissue from the body in order to heal.
How many people know that viruses aren't alive? It's been known in the medical profession for years that you don't give antibiotics for a virus because they're ineffectual because they're not alive. They have no nucleus. They're protein parts. There's no respiration. There's no functionality. There's no glandular activity. They are not alive. But what are they? They are soaps. They are solvents. The body makes them to dissolve tissue in your body that are too toxic for the parasites, the bacteria, and the fungus to eat. Too toxic, like when I had chemo, radiation. Parasite, bacteria, fungus tried to eat into that dead tissue, they were killed because they were poisoned to death from that tissue. So what's all this contagious bullcrap about virus? That's like saying laundry soap is contagious. Well, it's in every home, and everybody uses it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or between 11 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Most housewives and people do their laundry. So it must be contagious, because it's always happening about the same time. That's when colds and flus happen. They happen seasonally for a reason. There are 300,000 varieties of virus. Each one of them takes just a little particle of a cell at a time and disassembles it. And the pharmaceutical industry says, see, it dissolves a cell. No, it's dissolving a specific tissue in that cell, so specific that it can never damage the integrity of that cell. Unless you have many viruses happening at one time because of a highly toxic polluted cell from industrial pollution. And it's usually from the medical profession that that happens. But usually one, two viruses are occurring all at one time, only once in a lot of people. So, you know, one person gets, you know, the flu, then the next person gets the flu, and Joe Blow across town's got it, and all of a sudden, all these people start cropping up, and they say it's contagious. That's like saying the first crow, the rooster that starts crowing toward the sun is contagious to all the other roosters, because they get up and crow too, you know? Virus are not contagious. AIDS is not contagious. It's a man-made virus. It's the lymphadenomic virus of a sheep, and it's the leukemic virus of a bovine, spliced together, man-made, injected into our population by our dear, great military government as biochemical warfare experimentation. And do you know who their undesirables were they allowed to do it on? NSA says they're allowed to do it on undesirables. And you know who the undesirables were? Homosexuals. So homosexuals in New York, Houston, Los Angeles, and San Francisco were the target. How did they target them? Well, if you remember in the 70s, all through the 80s, the main people getting hepatitis were homosexuals because of their intense drug use. So they were given it in the hepatitis B vaccine, and they were strategically put in those cities. 10% of the people were not homosexual. That's why 10% of the population was not homosexual who got it in those cities. But it only happened in those cities. And then when the government got caught, it started putting them out in other cities, so they got it all over. And then they put it in the smallpox vaccine in Africa. Why would British government and the American government donate 125 million smallpox vaccines? Why would they give 125 million vaccines? You're talking billions of dollars to make them, transport them, get them over there and service them. 125 million vaccines were given and funded by the British government and the American government. Why do you think they did that? What happened? It made a medical catastrophe in all of those countries. So where did they go for medical help? They went to the British and American governments, who were supposed to be advanced medically. So they got treatment, and guess how many countries are now under the World Bank because they couldn't pay their debt for the medical help? 27 African countries are now run by the British and American government through the World Bank because they poisoned these Africans with AIDS in the smallpox vaccine. Nobody got AIDS there except people who got the smallpox vaccine, unless they were getting transfusions from somebody who had the smallpox vaccine. So you can get it transmitted in blood, but you can't transmit it sexually, you can't transmit it any other way, because it has to be injected into your body. You bleed outward, so you can't get it, even if you have anal sex and you bleed. You bleed outwardly, you don't bleed inwardly. And if you have, Dr. Strucker showed that there are only 2 viruses per ejaculation, 5 white blood cells destroy too easily like that, they'll never get in. And like I said, they can't procreate. They don't reproduce because they're not alive. Viruses are not alive. They are made by cells to clean the body. It is a solvent, a soap. Just like when you have runny mucus, your body has made a solvent, which is a viral type element, which cleans and causes your nose to run heavily because you breathed in something and it's lodged in your mucous membranes. It happens especially with people who don't produce proper mucus fibers. Mucus, if you look at it under a microscope, is a web. It looks like cloth. You have all these protein fibers that mesh, so it's layers and layers of thick, so particles can't get through and damage your sinuses. When people don't produce good quality mucus and they're protein deficient, these fibers are too wide open and the particles pass through and hit their sinuses and they have allergies. Mucus is too thin. It needs to be thicker, needing lots of protein like eggs. So when that passes in, it causes an irritation and your body creates a solvent to make it run and flow. Not a bad thing, it's a good thing. Viruses are good things. The body's making them for a reason, to get rid of damaged tissue so that you can reproduce new tissue and be healthier and alive. If you keep dying, if your cells keep dying and you don't reproduce them, what happens? You're the old person trying to walk across the street, a little at a time. And if you're reproducing, you're going to go like me, from death to life. You know, from death at 21 to life at 60, and getting healthier every day.
So you might be asking yourself, well, what about diseases like the Black Plague or polio? Weren't they viruses? How can they be good for you if you're dead? Arginus, from researching into what causes the viruses to manifest themselves and activate, says that the Black Death was most likely caused by the buildup of mercury and other heavy metals causing toxicity in the systems of people who used coal to fuel their fires to heat their homes, which were often soot-riddled due to poor ventilation and whole towns being covered in smog from the fireplace, making an impure breathing environment. He He put the blame down to the fact that many people at the time started to burn coal in replacement of firewood and things like peat. The polio virus is also activated when the buildup of heavy metals becomes too much for the body to dispose of. Arginus was almost certain that aluminium heavy metal toxicity caused the polio outbreaks, which came from people eating out of cans, which became very popular after the First and Second World Wars. He concluded that viruses are the body's last resort to trying to save your life.
And my guest today is the keeper of the native nutrition flame, none other than Arginus van der Planitz. How you doing?
Fine. How about you?
Very good. Very good. Eating raw. Eating raw.
Yes.
Anyway, I received an interesting email from you, and I looked at it and I thought, this really deserves some attention. So we're going to talk about this theory that you have about what's going on. First of all, one of the things I was amazed that I learned in the email was the nature of these viruses. Viruses are not living things, are they?
No, they're not. It's not like a microbe. It isn't like a microbe at all. They are protein waste products in solvent solution, and they can have animal tissue in them. Now, you cannot transfer animal tissue of that nature, any kind of an animal flu. Well, let me explain what a flu is. A flu is a solvent detoxification. A cold is normally a bacterial detoxification where microbes eat damaged tissue that is of a waste product, and when they consume that tissue, they can consume about 50 times their weight in 24 hours, and they have a waste product of about 1 to 5%. So that's like you eating 50 pounds of food in one day and having a 1 to 5-pound waste product to deal with the next day. That's a good janitor.
Really?
You know, so we want colds. Now, flus occur when people are so toxic that bacteria cannot help break down the toxic waste products that there's because there's inorganic substances like chemicals from pesticides, inorganic fertilizers, food additives, Pepsi Cola, all those sodas which are just chemical, they have nothing to do with food. When those chemicals get in the body and saturate the body and they destroy the bacteria, then our bodies have to make a solvent or many varieties of solvents to dissolve tissue. So the body may make about 300,000 types of viruses that are specific to a specific tissue within a particular cell so that the whole cell isn't, its integrity isn't disrupted. So the whole cell doesn't die. It's just cleaning out, let's say, the veins in a particular area of the cell, whether it be the veins for neurological functions or lymphatic, which is cleansing, or the blood itself within the cell. So those are specific cleansing viruses for specific areas in the body. Now, no time does it ever get to the point where you have more than, let's say, three viruses at a particular time in any particular body.
Okay.
Now, when we talk, if you're in a laboratory looking at it, there's nothing live there. You've got soaps. You've got solvents, just like we have soaps and solvents to dissolve grease off of your garage floor from your car. Now, what happens when you use a solvent, you use water in relationship with it because water is the main solvent on this planet.
Universal
it rains,
solvent,
dissolves yeah. rock, plants can eat.
Right.
So water is our main solvent. If you look under an archaeological book, the first thing listed under solvent is water.
Right.
So we mix a compound of proteins or chemicals which, with water, create a dissolution of substance. In this particular case, let's say the swine. So you're talking about a specific tissue of a pig. And of course, a pig is not going to have a virus unless it is so toxic from poor feed and vaccines and all kinds of medication that it can't use its natural bacterial cleansing.
And that obviously is happening, because if you've ever seen animal husbandry, how it relates to swine, I mean, they feed them garbage. They literally feed them, you know, garbage, everything that people throw away and is rotten, they feed it to pigs.
Well, that started in Egypt and Israel, you know, over 6,000 years ago. Pigs were used in the streets. That's why it was illegal to eat pigs, not because there was something wrong with them at first, but because they would eat anything. So all the waste products got dumped out the windows, and the pigs went around the streets eating everything. So it was illegal to eat the garbage collectors. But because people were eating a lot of cooked foods and throwing contaminated foods out, let's say that were left in silver vessels or lead cups and dishes, then of course they got contaminated with heavy metals. That was also so thrown out, and the pigs started getting disease. Mm-hmm. So then it was illegal to eat the pigs, not only because they were the garbage collectors, but because they were diseased.
Gotcha.
So that had continued. So when farming became when feed became a big agricultural moneymaker, companies started going to other companies that made processed food like cereals, getting the waste products cheaply and then feeding them to pigs.
Right. Like one of the things they feed to pigs is is chicken waste, chicken feces. You know, so people have chicken farms. They gather all that chicken waste up. They sell it to both the pig farmers and the cow farmers, and they feed it to those animals.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, pigs and dogs and chickens and birds eat a lot of fecal matter.
Okay.
What fecal matter, as long as the animal isn't eating chemicals and being injected with toxicity.
Well, that's the issue. That's the issue.
Yeah. The feces are pre-digested matter that the body didn't have time to absorb all of.
Right.
So other animals eat those feces, and they're very healthy with them.
Let's get back on track. Yeah. I'm very intrigued by this. So we have swine flu has arisen because we have sick pigs out there who cannot, the necessary viral response is inadequate for them to take care of their own bodies. So they manifest this swine flu, correct?
I mean, that's correct.
Okay.
Now you can have 300,000 varieties of swine flu because of the different complex 300,000 different types of tissue to be cleansed within a pig, just like within any other animal organism. However, they cannot cross species.
So how did we get swine flu then?
It's been made in a factory and injected.
Okay.
Just the way AIDS was manufactured. It was created at UCLA in 1961-62 to create cancer in laboratory animals to study cancer.
Okay. I don't want to get too deep into that yet, because I want to just elaborate one more thing here before we move there.
Okay.
So in theory, a virus, first of all, there are good viruses, obviously, as you just
all
described.
Viruses are good
okay.
viruses.
All right. So they're obviously necessary responses to something that's happening biologically in us.
Correct.
The swine flu virus or any of the normal viruses that we catch throughout the years, how are they actually, do they incubate in our body and sit dormant until we spread it to someone else? I've never understood where the viruses go. The viruses are like the cicadas to me. It's a mystery. They come out once every 7 years, but where are they for that 6.9 years before they come out? Where do viruses reside?
Okay, you're working under a wrong premise to begin with,
okay.
And you're never going to find the answer if you do that.
Okay.
Viruses have no nucleus. There's no respiratory system. There's no circulatory system. There's no digestive system. Viruses are not alive. That's like saying Tide soap is alive.
Okay.
They're not alive. They are solvents. They are soaps.
So when they're not making us sick, when the bad ones are not making us sick, where are they or what are they doing?
Well, what's happening is, like I said, we have colds, which are mainly bacterial. which go in and feed on toxic tissue that's been damaged. Waste products that we don't eat well enough, we don't eat all raw, and therefore we accumulate toxicity. So bacteria have to come in and eat that waste products because we can't keep up with all the waste.
Gotcha.
Okay, so that's what a cold is.
Okay.
A flu is mainly viral. Some bacteria some areas of your body may not be so contaminated that the bacteria, natural way that we cleanse with bacteria when we're overloaded with toxicity or waste products, bacteria will help us. But when we are so toxic that the bacteria are poisoned by the tissue from chemical inundation, then we have to make solvents. Each cell makes a solvent.
Gotcha.
Each cell makes a soap to help clean itself.
Okay.
And it's a union. It's like a factory. They all, particular cells, get together and say, let's make this for us to help clean us. So they're making a soap to do that. So there's nothing dormant about it. It's just that when the accumulation of waste is so great and you can't use bacteria, then the cells make a solvent.
There you go. Okay.
And that's a flu. That's a virus.
Now, I want to start back at 1976, Agnes. What happened in 1976 with the swine flu vaccine?
Well, I was 29 and living in California at the time. And a doctor, McBean, from I forgot her first name. She's an MD. She and Ida Onaroff, who was a consumer advocate and was nationwide syndicated on like 3,000 radio networks.
Right.
Those two women showed that the swine flu was a hoax, and that the swine flu vaccine that Ford and Rockefeller pushed through, David Rockefeller was their vice president and owned controlling stock in many pharmaceuticals. They were behind this swine flu thing. Even Gerald Ford went on and received his swine flu shot. Of course, David Rockefeller didn't. And they showed that the swine flu was a hoax and that the vaccine was going to harm and kill people.
And it did, in fact. Didn't some people die? I mean, a large number of people died from the vaccine. Isn't that right?
Well, there were three that died right there at the poll immediately after they got it. According to Ida, I did a radio show with her. She had the figures that showed 2,300 people, elderly people, died within 2 weeks of the shot as a result of the shot. In other words, they didn't have the flu before they got the shot, and then they got the swine flu from the shot. That is the only way that a human being can get a bird flu or a swine flu is if it is injected in them. We do not have those tissue. Once a animal product goes into our stomach, it no longer holds the animal's tissue. It completely dissolves it and makes it into human tissue. So there's no way we can get a swine flu or a bird flu, avian flu, any other flu. Years ago, they used to blame it on races, you know, the Spanish flu, the Mexican flu, and
right.
stuff like that.
Right.
Then when Rockefeller and Carnegie started taking over the universities in the early 1900s, shortly after that, after the Spanish flu incident, they started blaming everything on animals. Monkey flu, monkey AIDS, you know, all this stuff. They're always blaming an animal, a natural creature. They're always blaming nature. You cannot get a virus into another animal. Viruses are cellularly produced in their whole form. So if a human cell creates a virus, it can only be done inside a human body or in a test tube where you have human cells.
So there's no cross species
of flus. You
right.
can't do of viruses. It's impossible.
Right. I mean, you can get a herpes from another human being, obviously, but you can't.
No, you can't.
Oh, you
no,
can't.
That is false also.
So how do people transfer herpes from one person to another?
They don't. That is also a fallacy. That's like saying, okay, the bears in northern Mexico come out of hibernation, and then the next-door bears come out of hibernation all the way through the United States, all the way up to Canada, and all the way up to Alaska. So you're saying that that is an epidemic. We have a bear epidemic. The swine, any kind of flu is the same thing. When the climate temperature is right, certain tissues will cleanse, and they may go in a 7-year cycle. They may have a 6-month cycle. It depends upon the tissue and how contaminated it is.
Mm.
If certain tissue needs to clean out every 2 years, it will create, and you can't use the bacteria, your body will create a solvent, a virus, that cleans that particular tissue every 2 years, every 6 months, every 3 months, every 7 years, every 12 years, depending upon that tissue and how contaminated it is. You cannot – herpes, you know, that's all a fiction of the pharmaceutical industry to sell drugs.
So in other words, if someone has a herpes, let's say a genital herpes –
yes.
Wouldn't they be able to transfer it to someone else, especially if it's a man to a woman, since the inside of the vagina is basically like mucous membrane? It doesn't have the same barrier as like it doesn't have a stratum corneum like the outer dermis does. Couldn't you transfer it that way then?
Well, can you? Do you think Tide soap is contagious?
No, it's not. I use it.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Tide soap is contagious. Solvents are not contagious. I can inject it into you.
And then?
And then you would get sick.
I got you. Okay.
And that's how people get the only way people can get swine flu is if they've taken animal a pig tissue, grown it in a solvent toxic environment, and then these swine cells create a virus to break itself down.
Okay. Now, let's
okay. You can inject it into a human, and then you will find those actual swine tissue in there.
Which is where the virus would end up having some place to reside then.
Correct. Yeah, no, okay. There's no place to reside because they're not alive to reside.
Okay.
It's just you have a waste product that now the body has to clean that waste product out of the body. And it's going to be very alarmed because you've got foreign tissue in there. Injected into the body.
Okay.
That's why Guillain-Barré disease, that's why anaphylactic shock occurs when you inject people with foreign debris, foreign tissue. It goes into shock. It can even die from the shock of foreign tissue being injected into you.
Okay. All right. Now let me ask you a question now. In the email that you sent me, you postulated that perhaps some of this vaccine that was created back in 76, which killed so many people, it has just been vaulted. It has not been destroyed, you say, correct?
Correct. They were supposed to destroy it, but my understanding from one laboratory technician that I know who works at that lab, they vaulted it. They put it in a vault.
Why? I mean, that makes no sense to me, why they would even vault something that killed people.
Because there seems to be certain people out there, and even President Kennedy a month before he died said in a speech, there is a secret society that means to get rid of and annihilate certain people. You know, the Bush family was connected with Hitler. They financed Hitler. They're into annihilating people. To destroying, you know, races and stuff like that.
Right.
So you've got these people that Kennedy tried to warn us about because he was in that affluent society with many of those people.
Right.
And they intend to destroy a lot of the population as soon as the resources became very low. And the resources are getting pretty low, and we've got 6 billion people on the planet. And according to some of the information that's delivered to us, they want to get rid of 4.5 billion people.
So this is all part of the New World Order process that's occurring supposedly here in the country.
Well, that's some people call it New World Order. Other people call it other things, skull and bone, you know, groups from Yale.
Right.
Yeah, so that's part of it. And they we gave the task of looking at overpopulation to Henry Kissinger back in the 60s. And he wrote a paper that's about 280-some pages. I think that's about 260. And he talks about the greatest way to get rid of overpopulation is to inject people with contaminated medications.
Really? He wrote that?
Yes. And you can look at the paper, look under overpopulation, Henry Kissinger, run his search engine, and you'll come up with that paper. And then that was given to the NSA, National Security Association, also the military, and the government secret services, and they all voted on a particular proposition. I forgot the number, 281, something like that, and that gave the military and secret services, secret military divisions, the right to start biological warfare and experimentation on U.S. citizens.
So now this vaccine that was manufactured that killed all those people that has since been vaulted for no apparent good reason, how would it have found its way?
No, the apparent reason is that they want to reuse it.
No, but it's not a good reason. I'm saying it's a reason, but it's not a good reason. The reason is a.
It's not a healthy and,
yeah,
and
it's a sinister,
compassionate,
yeah,
and
it's sinister.
Humanitarian idea.
Right, it's sinister. It's a sinister reason. So how does it find its way to Mexico?
Well, a few months ago, the Mexican government gave out free flu vaccines.
That's what I was going to ask. Were these people vaccinated?
Yes. So obviously they were given this, some of the swine flu vaccine was taken out of the vault, given to the Mexican authorities, probably with a lot of money in their pocket. And they gave it to, some clinics. And then it was being injected into people. And then when people got such a reaction, then it was, they found swine tissue in their bloodstream and in their kidneys maybe and their bladders. That's about the only place you could really find it and detect it.
Right.
In a laboratory test. So they find it, and then you have to understand that, see how this media campaign is so fast.
Oh, I know. It's explosive.
It already had to have been set up. They were already ready for the cases to be discovered. You can't have 85 cases show up and all of a sudden, oh my God, we've got an epidemic on our hands that could be a pandemic. To be reported, they would have to show that they're very unusual cases. They would have to, even when they go to have the laboratory test something, it never tests for anything that the laboratory is not directed to test for.
And I was just going to ask you that. I mean, they would have had to specifically been looking for swine flu in these individuals.
Exactly. So this has all been set up. It's a whole media campaign to sell what? They're trying to sell Donald Rumsfeld's Tamiflu.
I know. I'm getting
going
emails.
They're going to pull the swine flu out of the vaults again and start selling the swine flu vaccine.
I've been inundated with emails from Canadian pharmacies telling me to stop buying Tamiflu now before it runs out. That's amazing. You said that. I got three emails today alone from three different Canadian pharmacies.
Yeah. Well, the media is recommending people use Tamiflu to fight against the swine flu. All you have to do to fight against the swine flu is never get an injection from a doctor.
Yeah, there you go.
Or injection from anybody.
Right.
The only way you can get any kind of foreign animal tissue into your body is by injection.
Now, we've seen a lot in the media recently about people not getting their children vaccinated and vaccine rates falling. We've seen much talk about perhaps introducing a mandatory vaccine policy, both in North America and the UK. It's safe to say that I'll never get vaccinated again in my life. And I'm not suggesting that you do the same. I'm simply giving you the alternative view on vaccinations so that you can make an informed decision. I hope that you found this video of use. Thanks for watching.